Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. The power of his might. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mighty power. We thank you that you provide that power to us through the presence of your Holy Spirit within us, and make available all the full potential of your power in our lives, that we may, in our inner man, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help us to understand how this works as we study this passage of Scripture. And I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the basic questions in life are things like what and why and how. For example, we ask the question, what should you do when it rains? And then, why does it rain? And then, how are the raindrops formed? What and why and how? Now we will see these questions applicable to this passage of Scripture. What are we to do with the power of God? Why do we need the power of God? And how does the power of God work in our lives? That's our outline for today, the 3 points. And there will be a poem at the end. 3 points and a poem. That's what a sermon's supposed to consist of, I guess. So point number one, what are we to do with the power of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've been defining various words that are used in reference to the power of God, and we have a couple of these today, and one of them is one that we haven't seen before. The word power is not the dynamite, but the expression of it. Remember the part that goes boom. This is the expression of God's power. And the word might, refers to the physicality of that power or the actual expression of it or application of the power of God in the real experiences of life. We are to be strong in the actual expression of God's power in the practical situations of our lives. The word strong has to do with the experience or the sensation that goes along with something. It refers to the actual experience of the expression of God's power. And the sensation we have when God unleashes his power in our lives. If you've ever flown in one of those great, big, huge airplanes, especially if you're sitting further back, and you finally come out to the runway and you're ready to take off, and the pilot puts the thrust on, and you feel that being pushed back into the seat. It's an interesting situation. You get used to it after a while, but the first time it really gets your attention. You feel that thrust. Well, the application of the power of God is a real experience in life, not in a physical sense necessarily. Remember last week, there are not many Samsons. But in the inner man, to be strong in the Lord is to develop a sensation for the presence and operation of the power of God in our lives. Now, the power of God is present. We have it. The Holy Spirit brings with him all of God's dynamite. We need to learn how to plug into it. You buy a power tool at the store and you bring it home. What do you have to do to use it? You have to plug it in. To plug it in. The power source is there in your house, right? You have to plug into it. The power source is in our house. The power source is in our bodies. When he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he says that we need to learn how to make use of, to access, to appropriate, to plug into the power of God that already exists within us. And we'll talk about how to do that, but in the meantime, we come to the second point, and that is, why do we need the power of God? And there are two things in this passage of Scripture that indicate to us why we really need to plug into the power of God. The first is in verse 11, where it says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is a Greek word that became an English word. We're familiar with it. It's the word method. The devil uses methods. In other words, the devil is not haphazard. He is methodical. He's not impulsive. He plans his attacks on our lives. And we must be prepared to counter his moves, almost like in a chess game. Have you ever played chess? You know, you have a bishop that can go this way and that way. And if you can move your bishop into a place where there's an open line to your king, you can put the other person's king in check. What do you have to do? You either have to move your king or move some other piece in between the two to protect them. Counter moves. The devil has plans. He makes moves on our lives, and we need to be able to counter that by standing. And we'll talk about what's involved in the standing in a moment. But the second thing, the wiles of the devil is one thing, and verse 12 is the second, and that is the forces of spiritual wickedness. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wickedness is a word that means the active exercise of a vicious mind and character. Vicious. Just bent on doing bad and as much harm as possible. Wickedness. And to say that it's spiritual wickedness indicates to us that this is referring to those angelic spirits who fell with the devil when Lucifer fell from heaven. See, these are spiritual wickedness from high places in the realm of the heavens, not the heaven where God has his throne, but in the realm of the universe. They have freedom of movement. They move about the universe, the earth's atmosphere, wherever they would like to go. They have freedom of movement, not confined to the earth as we are. And these wicked spirits consist of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Now, I take these to be various ranks of demons. Principalities are princes over palaties, or a prince over a palaty. Now, a palaty is a real word. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's actually a real word. A palaty is a region over which a prince rules. Because this is listed first, probably principalities are the highest order of demons, as Satan's minions. And then there are powers, those who have some level of authority. And there are rulers of darkness. Rulers, lords, ruling over the dark system of the world. Have you ever noticed that the world, not because of the eclipse of the sun, but the world system just seems to be getting darker all the time? The angels who fell from the good graces of God with Lucifer, and who have freedom to move about throughout the universe and the earth's airspace, you might say, have the potential of wielding tremendous influence on the affairs of men, both internationally and nationally and locally and individually. And there is a very real possibility that true born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can be harassed, not possessed, but harassed by demons. Not possessed, I say, because it's clear from scriptures that the spirit of God and the spirit of evil cannot exist in the same place at the same time. And if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, an evil spirit cannot come in at the same time. But we can be influenced. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? Influence. And so we are in a wrestling match, it says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual forces of wickedness to wrestle. Just what it says, to wrestle. It's a contest between two people that want to throw each other down, and the victory is decided when you can hold your opponent down and he's immobile. Now, how does this work? What kind of a wrestling match is this with wicked spirits? It's not physical, of course. Not for the believer. I mean, people who are not saved and are possessed by a demon could be very physical. But believers, not physical, not normally physical, although some illnesses could be connected to it. But it refers to it as spiritual wickedness. And there are spiritual battles that we have to fight and to wrestle with these wicked spirits. It's a contest of wits and thoughts and emotions. You see, the devil wants to discourage us and make us feel depressed and cause us to think that God is not going to help us and thus convince us to deny the power of the truth in our lives. It is because of the wrestling match that we need the power of God. Because in our flesh, we cannot resist. However, with the power of God, we cannot lose. Because remember the scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? So, how does the power of God work in our lives to give us the victory over these forces of spiritual wickedness? He says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To withstand and to stand. The word withstand is the same word that is used in James chapter 4 and verse 7 and translated resist. Remember the verse? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. Withstand. Now, I know I've used this illustration before, but It's the best one I have to illustrate what it means to withstand and to stand against the devil. When I was in the sixth grade, remember we have football. We played football during recess, and this one fella kept running. The only thing he ever knew how to do was run right into me and knock me down. So I asked my father what to do. He says, well, you're a pretty big fella, and I was a pretty big fella in those days. I guess I've always been a pretty big fella. Anyway, I was a pretty big fella in the sixth grade, and he says, you're a pretty big fella. You know he's going to come running at you. When he comes running at you, just brace yourself and be ready for it. And so the next day I went to school, and we played football, and the ball was hiked, and here comes this guy. He's running right at me. So I braced myself. I planted my feet, and I braced myself. I didn't move. But when he ran into me, he fell right down. I withstood. You don't have to attack back at the spiritual forces of wickedness. You need just to learn how to stand firm in the armor of God. And he gives us these things for armor. Number one, in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. Remember, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Truth is not just that which is true in contrast to that which is false. Truth is a distinct thing with an independent existence. Truth is the substance of things that exist in the mind and heart of God. Now, what is in the mind and heart of God is communicated through his word. Jesus said in his prayer to God the Father in John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. Later on, in the armor, we'll be told to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In that case, the word of God is an offensive weapon. But as the girdle or belt that holds all the armor together, the truth is the thing that God provides to give us confidence to stand. Then he says in verse 14, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Truth first, then righteousness. Righteousness is the substance of the truth that enables a person always to do right in contrast to what is wrong. The scriptures teach us that righteousness is the direct opposite of sin. There are a number of verses, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different references in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians that contrast the word righteousness with sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 6, 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6, 18, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And on the scripture goes, showing the contrast between sin and righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness becomes a protective shield to the heart, the breastplate, the heart. Because there is a direct connection between the heart and righteousness in scripture. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Romans 10:10. If our heart, the heart of our inner man, is firmly fixed in the righteousness of God, in the capacity to do what is right in contrast to what is wrong according to the truth, we will be in a much stronger position to resist the forces of spiritual wickedness. In verse 15, he tells us, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, the gospel of peace is referred to one other place in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Now, that's pretty close to Romans 10, 17, isn't it? Well, that we ought to be very familiar with. You know, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's in that same context. It's a context of talking about the salvation of men. And it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It's clearly talking about salvation. The gospel of salvation, the gospel of peace. Why is it referred to as the gospel of peace? Because through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given peace with God. Now, a person whose life has been prepared by the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have peace with God, a person who is prepared because we have peace with God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a person who is prepared because we have received by faith the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is ready to stand unmovable and steadfast in the Lord. Now, it likens it to having your feet shod, shoes. I like to connect it to the spikes that sports players wear. You know, if you wear smooth sneakers to play sports, the likelihood is you're going to slide a lot when you run. But if you have spikes on the bottom of your shoes, it helps your feet to be planted more firmly. And if you are prepared as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart has been prepared, your life is prepared because you have received the gospel of peace. You have been born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the ability to plant your feet firmly and be unmoved. And then he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, faith has two dimensions. The first dimension is to believe. But the second dimension is to trust. It's not sufficient to believe that something is true. You actually have to trust it. Trusting God, the exercise of our faith, exercising the dimension of faith in which we actually trust God, God then becomes a shield to us against the worst that the devil can throw at us. I read earlier at the beginning of the service, Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped." There are a number of places where it talks about the Lord being our shield. Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Psalm 115, verse 11, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield." You know, in science fiction, they have this imagination that people are able to create this protective shield so that whether you're in a car or an airplane or a spaceship or something, you can activate this protective shield so that when the enemy fires anything at you, it just bounces right off of this protective shield. I want to tell you, for a believer, that's not imagination. God is our shield. And as we trust him, what does it say here in this verse? In verse 16, the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil can cast any of the fiery darts he wants to at us, but with the protective shield of God as we trust in him, they'll all just bounce off. Ephesians 6:17, he says, take the helmet of salvation. Once again, we have another reference to help us to understand that this is not simply talking about salvation as it is in the gospel of peace, but this is the hope that comes along with salvation. For in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. You see, the helmet of salvation is the hope of salvation that gives us the confidence to know we cannot lose. We can be so confident, mentally confident of victory because of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can't lose. If we stand in the truth and practice righteousness and have our lives prepared because we stand firm in the salvation of our Savior, and we trust in God who is our shield, we cannot lose. And so he says, when you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, you're familiar with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know that works not only on human beings, but on angels as well? Sure it does. And when you thrust the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, at the spiritual forces of wickedness, they cannot help but be convicted. For they know their end. You remember when Jesus came across the two men that were possessed by demons, and they wanted him to cast them out into the pigs. Remember that? It says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They know what's coming for them. And any time we thrust the word of God at them, it only reminds them of how wicked they are and what their end is. And I believe this seventh thing is also part of the armor of God, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Look at verse 17 at the end of the verse. There's no period. Verse 18 is continuing the same sentence. And so when he's talking about the, in verse 17, the helmet and the sword, and he goes into verse 18 and talks about praying, it's all connected. It's all part of the same sentence, part of the same thought. The point is, we must not try to use any of the armor of God or the power of God or the word of God on our own, but through prayer demonstrate that we understand in our relationship with God that we are totally dependent upon Him. And it is not our work to do, but His, so that we will depend upon the Holy Spirit to activate His power within us, make it go boom, so that we can stand firm in the power of the Lord and be strong in Him. And so he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul says, I'm not going to do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. But if you'll pray for me, that God will activate His power in me, God can do this through me. We're coming into a football season, and they have a saying in football. It goes something like this. On any given day, any given team can defeat any other given team. Now, the meaning of that is that on any given day, even the worst team with the most losses has the possibility of defeating the best team with the most wins. Now, one of the reasons for that is that the best team, when they come up against the worst team, may underestimate the worst team and take too many things for granted. As Christians, we cannot afford to underestimate the devil and his minions. Now, Christians are the winning team. And the devil and those forces of spiritual wickedness are the losers. But on any given day, we can lose a skirmish if we take too many things for granted. We must focus constantly on the truth that comes from God's own heart and on righteousness that keeps our focus on what is right and on the gospel of peace that got us where we are in the first place and on trusting God who is our shield and on the hope of our salvation that guarantees our victory. And on the word of God that always strikes an effective blow on the enemy. And on prayer, showing our dependence on God rather than on ourselves. And if we keep this focus, we cannot lose. God will never fail us, even though we fail Him. He's willing to give us a second chance when we stumble over sin. And yes, from time to time, sin creeps into our lives. So subtly does Satan attack, unaware sin gets inside, our armor must be worn at all times, night and day. Don't let your guard down for a minute, for Satan will find a way to destroy all our dreams and upset all our plans, to bring confusion to our minds. So we fail to understand what is really happening as he gains more control, to eventually destroy us all and take captive our souls. But as we stand on God's word, Satan's plans will not succeed. For greater is he that dwells in us than Satan and his deeds. We need to read God's word each and every day so we will be fully equipped and a warrior when we pray. So daily gird yourself with the armor that you need. Each piece is needed for battle to defeat our enemy. And Christ has won the battle over death and over sin. Satan will always remain defeated, and Jesus will always win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the confidence that you build in our lives as we realize what is available to us in the armor that you have provided, in the presence of your Spirit, in the might of your word. Help us this day to be strong in you and in the power of your might and be able to stand unmovable, victorious in every case when the wiles of the devil are at work in our lives. The forces of spiritual wickedness are casting fiery darts at us. May we know you to be our shield and our helper. And may we always remember it's not us, it's you who gains the victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.